Hari Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunatu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Here we are from 10. This verse shows Krishna's anubhavas or actions performed out of deep love. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his commentary to Bhagavatam 1.9.20 describes the confidential meaning behind these sufferings. And so we're bringing in a deeper understanding of anubhava, that it's not just a specific observable reaction, but it's the affection that generates that reaction.
Yes.
Right? In other words, you know, if somebody's happy, there's a reaction. If they're sad, there's a reaction. So that there's anubhavas at all means that there's something behind that.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because it's a particular transformation of the mind. Right? So then that means then it's the results from, you have the sthayi bhava, then when you have the vibhava, then that being affected, that generates anubhava.
Yeah.
You understand? Then you have symptoms to see what the anubhava is, but why it's here is because of affection.
So it contains the specific affection, or is it a generic affection?
There is generic elements, like laughing is there, and you know, so many, all the rasas are different that, but then the specific situation is how someone would react. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's.
Anubhava is like a result of something.
Yes. An emotional response. It means it has the physical element that you can define it by. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's a result of the ecstasy coming from the interaction between the Ashray and Vishay.
Yeah.
You know, based on a specific relationship. You know, like Kamsa. When see Krishna, then he think he's going to die. You know, so that's the anubhava from the, this natural relationship. Okay. Seeing that Krishna is controlled more when he sees his devotees who generate prema in him. Right? So that's the whole point. Seeing the devotees, because how they deal, it generates prema in him. Right? So it means he is prema. But the point is it a specific aspect of prema, right? That's connected with that devotee. So then that's what's generated. Then with that, does that make sense? Then there'll be some response. So Krishna says, as you surrender, he reciprocates.
Yes.
Okay. The knower of rasa infers that there is intense prema in the siddha and sadhaka devotees. He then concludes that Krishna is the cause of difficulties for devotees in order to increase their devotion to that level. Shiva, Narada, and Kapila know this. One sees an increase in prema in Draupadi and others when their difficulties increase. Right? Bhagavatam 10.8.8.8. If I especially favor someone, I gradually deprive him of his wealth. When the relatives and friends of such a poverty-stricken man abandon him, oh, then, in this way, he suffers one distress after another. But what's the end result?
Surrender to Krishna.
That's there. But I'd say, what's the side benefit?
You get everything back and more.
That's there. But I'm saying before that, the immediate.
But you get
it's right here in the verse. Oh, I was thinking on the side. There's no relatives.
Yeah.
You think everything's taken away, but actually, no, yes.
Peace.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is he takes it away because there's a surrender. It increases that. But at the same time, it's really favorable. He may give so much. So that's why in the beginning we were seeing what Krishna's giving, right, to the Brahman, to the king, to Indra, to Brahma. Right? Then with Shiva we're starting to see, then if it's not about that, you know, there's something more, there's that mood that's more important. So it's not that those are the, means in other words, those may be definitely effects, but it's not necessarily that is the only thing to see. Then there's the element of just that absorption and that happiness from that absorption, whether you have anything or not. Right? Because Shiva has nothing and he's happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
His wife's material energy, so anything he wanted he could get, but he has nothing, so yes, he's happy. Right? Then Prahlad Maharaj, he's getting, but he takes it that getting these things, that's a symptom that it's not, because otherwise he would have taken it away.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the whole idea, is that whatever will bring one closer, that's what Krishna does.
And then with the Pandavas, he actually takes away.
He takes it, but he gives them more than anybody's ever had. It takes away all that, so that's more than anybody's lost.
Yes.
But the point is they don't. For them, it doesn't matter. They serve in any position. That was Kunti's point.
Yeah.
Kunti's point, Draupadi's point. Like Kunti says, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. Foreseeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. So that's the... Because if you remember Krishna, that's the point that's being brought out here and in the Bhagavatam, is that if you remember Krishna, you're absorbed in Krishna, then there are no material anxieties. So it doesn't matter to you whether you have anything or not. If you're absorbed in Krishna, then you're happy. So it's not a symptom of that. That's right?
What? Is there any suggestion of the acharyas? How do we have to remember the Lord when calamities or problems come? It can be a big variety, you know, according to the relationship of that particular jiva has with the Lord. But is there any standard? I mean,
standard is whatever is the natural way you remember or absorb yourself. That's what you do. Because the point is it doesn't matter what aspect you're remembering, or that it's all Krishna, it doesn't matter.
It comes to my mind, somebody may think that remembering a pastime of the Lord.
It's whatever you can remember. It's not a matter of, you know, it's just like, well, you know, say, let's, you know, we want to make some money, so, you know, we should maybe do some business, so what business we could do, you know, well, you know, we could open them. You know, multinational, you know, corporation, or, you know, we could, how you say, set up a government and take tax. You know, we could do so many things. So which one works for you? You know what I'm saying?
Very personal, then.
Yes, that's how it works. Yeah. He understands. So it's what you can do. In other words, you can sit there, well, should I remember the past? But do you remember pastimes? That's the whole thing. You remember what you can remember. You work in that area. Because that's the thing. Krishna being absolute, it doesn't matter which aspect. It's all Him. You get benefit from any position. So we were discussing this morning. Even if one is absorbed in the position of, what are you doing there? Oh, okay. Thought he was trying to quietly get by.
You'll never know.
Yeah. Right? So that the devotional service, even if it's mixed with the materialistic elements, but because it's connected to the Lord, it will be purifying. Does that make sense? Thus, the difficulties the devotees experience are not prarabdha karmas, since they are given by the Lord alone, who wants to benefit the devotees. However, this is not an inclusive rule. Right? So, in other words, this is the principle, but there may be aspects where it's not.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes can be the Lord directly, and sometimes it's not.
I would think that in here it would. Oh, here. Okay, here. Let's just continue this. Sometimes the Lord increases his devotees' bhakti without giving problems to them. That's what he's meaning here. It means the bhakti could increase without trouble.
Yes.
That's one possibility.
Which is good news.
Yes. Thus it is said that no one knows the plan of the Lord. Right? So you don't know. Point is that one's not functioning on the platform of material karma. One's functioning, Krishna's arranging. So you may get results, you may not get results. You may lose your results, you may gain your, who knows. As a kid, had my bicycle stolen, right? So, reported to the police and this and that. They found the bicycle. They always have their usual suspects, and they found the bicycle. Interesting thing is that when I had it, it was stock, right? But now the person who stole it then had did it up, put all kinds of fancy gears and this and that, make improving it. And the police then gave the bike back like that, because they thought it was fitting. I went through trouble because I lost the bike, and so then they thought it was an appropriate, repayment. So without doing anything, I got a fancier bike. Does that make sense? So that's just, you don't know how it'll work. So not that you did something, but it's...
But okay. You didn't stop locking the bike.
No, I kept... Then I got a bigger lock. Thus it is said that no one knows the plan of the Lord. Shiva and Narada know the Anubhavas are symptoms in the Lord. Other foolish people do not know the Anubhavas, like Krishna allowing himself to be tied up. They explain it as some sort of fake display. Shartartha Darshani 1920. But they're just saying he's just doing that to play, but he doesn't have to, because they're looking at him as he's God. He's just... No, it's actually he's being bound up by the affection of the devotees. Because they're applying affection, that's what's binding them. Otherwise, how do you put a rope or anything around unlimited? That's the whole point. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So basically, other than Radharani, she can put her arm around unlimited because she's unlimited. But everybody else is not. No. So therefore, it's by the Lord's affection. Okay. Yeah. So... Yeah. So for us, it's just the Lord's taking care. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16-17, Bhishma tells Maharaj Yudhishthira that the Pandavas' inconceivable activities are meant to educate the ignorant living entities on how to behave in this world. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhishthira over his past sinful activities and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the authority, Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhishthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? Right? So if they can't understand, we're definitely not going to understand. No. Right? We think about something, we do not get more heads.
No.
Brahma does, like that.
Mark. So we shouldn't even try to understand the Lord, just accept it as it is and just move forward?
Means we contemplate the philosophical aspects of it, but we don't have to try to understand. We
we try to understand what we can from it. You know, if there's something that we're supposed to learn from this or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But to try to understand the Lord's plan behind, we can't. It's beyond us. So we only have to understand, okay, what connects to us and how is that working. And if it makes sense, great. If it doesn't make sense, don't worry about it.
Because mine is always worried, why is it happening to me?
Yes. That's coming up in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavatam. Then before Brahma starts the creation, right? Then because all the elements are there, but before he starts making the bodies and everything, then he creates five illusory elements of positions required so that everybody can take that. One is false identity, anger after frustration, you know, all these different kinds of nice things. Because of that, then we're able to sit in these bodies quite comfortably. Because otherwise, then we wouldn't. You know, it's kind of like, what's this? You call this a body? You know, so therefore, we don't. We see what's beneficial for us. We how to remember the Lord in that situation, how to be absorbed. Because that's the only benefit, because the other things are of no benefit. Because it's all temporary. Is that what makes sense? Yeah. So being temporary, then whether it gets better or worse, it technically doesn't actually have an effect on the soul. So the actual effect on the soul is the coming closer to Krishna. So by taking things away, you'll come closer. By being things more, you'll come closer. Or by neither, that's just Krishna's. If you want to come closer, then Krishna's arranging. But it's also said, if you want to go away, Krishna will arrange that also.
Okay. He's very accommodating.
Yes. 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 Is that?
Yeah.
That work a bit? So, in other words, connected to what is our duties, connected to the philosophy, connected to our situation, we try to put that together and see, well, how to make the best Krishna conscious understanding. Does that make sense? So we're always trying to understand, but we know we can never fully understand. Otherwise, why is it says no one knows the plan of the Lord? Shiva, Narada knows something, but they can't know. Why not? That means they're contemplating, but they can never know. So we'll contemplate what's connected to us and try to understand it the best we can. But ultimately, we can never fully know because there's things we don't know about. We're dealing now. Why is this happening to me? But there's things from the previous lifetimes and everything, and that's why these things are happening. So we don't remember that, you know, we had this interest or that interest or made this trouble or that trouble or, you know, whatever it is. And so that result's coming now for some reason. You know, but the Lord knows all those things.
Maharaj, would we be saying that there's no need to emotionally dwell on that? Should be just done for certainty?
No, it means it's not that emotions won't be involved. It's just a matter of that's not the prominent element. Emotions just happen because they happen. Right? It's a matter of we're trying to reduce the emotional involvement here to be involved in the emotional involvement there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So when we talk about reduction of that involvement or their attachment, that's only because it's not of great importance here. But it's there, but because it'll only be manifest temporarily, then it's just a matter of time before there's nothing in that area. So that's why it doesn't actually have any significance for the soul. But because the soul identifies with the external environment, therefore we consider that it has some meaning. But in actuality, it doesn't. So that's the difficulty. But the principle that we're people, we interact, there's emotional feelings, there's actions done, there's results gained, you know, the element of service, surrender, submission, all these different things, These are aspects of relationship. That's a value in the spiritual world. That's why in the material world, it's about connecting that to Krishna rather than getting rid of it. But we're getting rid of particular details that are not important, or that we're not seeing that those things in relationship to the Lord. That's what we're trying to get. But we're not trying to get rid of that somebody's happy. It's not that, well, if you're unhappy, then you're Krishna conscious. You know, like the question comes up, well, I like doing this. It means we're supposed to act according to our nature. That means we're doing something that, you know, our nature is good at. So naturally what you're good at, you generally tend to like. So, but then I like it. So isn't that sense gratification? So wouldn't it be more Krishna conscious that I do some activity that I really hate? Then I'll be really Krishna conscious. It's not like that, because Krishna, it's not about the trouble. It's about connecting to Him. Does that make sense? You know, we say so many things about family life here, but in the spiritual world, basically everybody's married. You know, I mean, Garuda, Hanuman, Narad Muni, you know, the hands of the four Kumaras. But, you know, everybody else, basically you get the idea that they're all family people. So that's not the problem. The problem is we get involved and we forget Krishna. Right? But we also target, you have too much knowledge, you forget Krishna. Too much wealth, you forget Krishna. Beauty, fame, renunciation, you forget Krishna. Right. So that's the whole thing, is anything that's not connected to the Lord and it makes you forget the Lord is a problem, and anything that makes you remember then is fine. Because the point is to remember the Lord, not like that. That's the idea. These other things are just recommended because they can be distracting.
The same one, we can say that too much suffering also makes you forget the Lord. And then previously we said, you know.
But who defines what's too much?
Our perception.
Yes. You know, for the teenager, you said, you know, can I go out with my friends now and, you know, party all night? No, you have homework to do. You have exams, you know, that's on Monday. And, oh, I hate you. You ruined my life. You this and that, you know. So for them, it's that's like unlimited, you know, like medieval, you know, torture like this. But all it was is said, do your homework, then we can talk about it. No? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is perception. That's the difficulty. So we'll think, oh, this is too much. But the point is why does it come to that point? Why do we perceive it that way?
Because we put ourselves in the center.
Yeah, it's just like this. I give some certain food to one person. He's happy with it. I give the same food to another person. It's okay. I give it to another person. It's the worst thing that you could have given him in the three worlds. It's the same food, you know. You know? Yeah, you know, it's like one of the latest techniques they use to, you know, break political prisoners like that, you know. They sit them down there, you know, they make them very hungry. And then they sit them down at the table. And then they bring, you know, like a, what do you call it? Like a steamed, what are those things? Those funny little miniature cabbages.
Brussels sprouts.
They say, eat these.
Yes.
No, anything but that. You know. You understand? So I say, yes. It's perception. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is we decide that it's terrible. Because there's some things that the Vedas say are terrible, and people think they're great.
Yeah.
You know? So that's the whole thing. That's why you have all the variety of animal species. Because one situation that one animal doesn't like, another animal does. So that's the thing, is that we'll say, oh, but how does, you know, Krishna is so much, how can I, you know, like this and that. But the point is what's your alternative? You're going to suffer anyway, because you've decided that that's suffering. Does that make sense? You've decided it's suffering. And so, therefore, you are suffering. If you say it's not suffering, it's not. You know, like for the nerd doing their math homework, is not suffering. right? They like doing their homework, right? No kids at school, no one else bothering you. You just sit down, do your, you know, the numbers are stable, steady. They don't mess with your head. You know, they don't, you know, like that. So it works good. So they're comfortable, they're secure.
The numbers don't judge.
Yeah, numbers don't judge. You know, is that what it says? So it's all perception of what's there. You know, unless the Vedas are defining it, then it's just our perception. So therefore we say, oh, it's too much suffering. But if it's anything we don't like, it's too much. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So basically any situation is just an opportunity to connect with Krishna.
Yes, it is.
Some way.
It means it's nice, then Krishna's made this arrangement. It's nice. It's not nice, then, you know, because there's something to learn from this. It is useless also to inquire about it, right? To make a big, you know, why is this happening to me?
Yeah.
But it's not. That's not important. Why me? Why not him? Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The suffering of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.16 purport. Huh. The popular saying is that a housewife teaches the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. Similarly, the Lord teaches the world by teaching the devotee. The devotee does not have to learn anything new from the Lord, because the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within. Whenever, therefore, a show is made to teach the devotee, as in the case of the teachers of Bhagavad Gita, it is for teaching the less intelligent men.
What?
Yes.
That seems the Lord teaches the sincere devotee always from within, but we just had the Pandavas. And all these things are happening, so they're insincere.
No, but they're taught from within. Mm. We're the ones that only learn by seeing what they do.
So externally, we're being, not their being.
Yes, it means here we have to connect. Yeah, teaches the world and
yes.
For teaching the less intelligent men, and put those two together. then it makes some sense. A devotee's duty, therefore, is to ungrudgingly accept tribulations from the Lord as benediction. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.17 purport. Right? So you don't get too grumpy about things. It's just the way it is. 76. He acted as their servant, advisor, messenger, charioteer, and court attendant. He kept watch for them at night, following them on processions, and even offered them praise and obeisances. Out of his affection and concern for them, what would the Lord not do? He was seen taking the combined roles of their servant, companion, and dearmost friend. And they took the same roles for him. Because because the Pandavas go together as a group, and as we saw, is you have one is that you have all these different aspects that are there, but between the Pandavas themselves, they have these different relationships. Yudhishthira is parental mixed with friendship. Right, then Arjuna is friendship, and the twins then will be that more of that kind of servitorship or junior friends. Does that make sense? So you have that range basically from servitorship to parental. So then all that in between. So servant, companion, dearmost friend, all those different aspects will come up. While Hanuman rendered menial service to the Lord, the Pandavas accepted menial service from the Lord as a friend, servant, charioteer, advisor, and more. Maharaj Parikshit heard that out of his causeless mercy, Lord Krishna, Vishnu, who is universally obeyed,
rendered all kinds of service to the malleable sons of Pandu by accepting posts ranging from chariot driver to president to messenger, friend, night watchman, etc., according to the will of the Pandavas, obeying them like a servant and offering obeisances like one younger in years. When he heard this, Maharaj Parikshit became overwhelmed with devotion to the lotus feet of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.16.6, because he could see. So what's the see here? Right? It's not what's happening. It's the affection that's the cause of what's happening. That's what we're meaning. The Anubhavs, that's what it says, Shiva and Brahma. Was it Shiva and Brahma or Shiva and Narada?
Narada.
Shiva and Narada know how to lead these Anubhavs. So then from that, then you can appreciate then the Lord's devotion he has to the devotee, that affection. That's the main thing to catch. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Krishna acted as follower by presiding over the assembly. He acted as servant by satisfying their wishes, such as staying up at night with sword in hand protecting them. Sartartha Darshini 1.16.6. According to Hanuman, the fact that the Lord renders menial service to the Pandavas is a sure indication of his special favor. Right? So he's, in other words, there's so many aspects of the Lord and the devotees and their relationship. So according to one's nature, one's going to find something inspiring. Right? So what Narad may be seeing, or what, you know, in this case, Kalad Maharaj is seeing, then may be different from what Hanuman said. So that's the point, is all these aspects about are correct. Right? Because they're symptoms of the affection between the Lord and the devotee. At the same time, if you just take them as in their secondary aspect, they're not the primary, so they don't have to be symptomatic of that. There are other things that also produce those symptoms. Does this make sense? Is that we're trying to deal with that aspect of why is it one devotee saying this is you're great, this, that, and then the other devotee saying no, it means it, you'll interpret it on a lower platform. Because the whole point is it's symptomatic of these higher principles, but you could also interpret it in another way. So all it is the devotee is just taking the other aspect. Why? Because it's not that he leaves it at that. What happens? He will glorify another devotee who inspires him that this is a devotee that has. But it's not that he doesn't continue doing his service. Hanuman does his service even though he's glorifying the Pandavas. Just like Kalad Maharaj does his service even though he's glorifying Hanuman. Because that's the nature. You perform your service. But because you're inspired, because you associate with those more advanced than you, then you will say, no, they're the advanced ones, not me. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you see a slight difference here between these devotees, and then when you get the two brahmacharis, that each one's more humble than the other one. Because it's just in their being, who's the most humble competition. And when this is done, you don't see them glorifying someone else. You know? And in fact, if you actually are able to say something that you're more humble and the other guy can't give a response, then you've won and then you're very euphoric because exactly. You're better. Yeah. So all that kind of, that's you understand? So we're not accustomed to this, right? Because this is actual humility. Right? You know? Does that make sense?
Yes.
But it's not that the brahmacharis going through that exercise is not a bad thing, because at least there's a value in humility in their making that attempt and practicing it.
It's just very difficult.
Huh?
It's just very difficult, this.
This one. This is more difficult. Yeah, the other one's easier.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but practice then get The Pandavas represent the most intimate relationship we have been privy to so far in Bhagavatamrita. They relate to Krishna not so much as God, but as dear friend and personal associate. This is unique. Hanuman is renowned for giving service to the eternal Lord and Master, Sri Ramachandra, not for accepting him. And earlier we observed how Lord Nrisimhadev intervened to protect Prahlad, and how Vamanadev agreed to act in Balimara as his doorkeeper. Although the Lord offers service in these examples, they in no way match the familiarity and continuity of Krishna's exchanges with the sons of Pandu. Footnote 5. In Bhagavad Gita, after receiving darshan of the universal form, Arjuna lambasts himself over his informal and irreverent behavior towards the Lord. Thinking of you as my friend, I have rashly addressed you, O Krishna, O Yadava, O my friend, not knowing your glories. Please forgive whatever I may have done in madness or in love. I have dishonored you many times, jesting as we relaxed, laying on the same bed, or sat, or ate together. Sometimes alone, and sometimes in front of many friends. O infallible one, please excuse me for all those offenses. Bhagavad Gita 11:41-42. The following commentary is offered on this verse. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Arjuna is lamenting his previous over-familiar relationship with Krishna. For example, he would usually call Krishna, Krishna, and not the more honorific, Sri Krishna. Arjuna is referring to Krishna as Krishna, also indicates that Krishna is the son of Vasudeva, who is merely a minister, whereas Arjuna's father, Pandu, was a great warrior. He was a king, right? Mm-hmm. Similarly, Arjuna, a member of the royal Pandava dynasty, referred to Krishna as Yadava, a member of a family unable to rule. Furthermore, Arjuna would at times say, "Oh, my friend," as if being condescendingly kind. "Although I am superior to you, out of my affection I accept you as my friend." Now aware of Krishna's actual position, Arjuna feels ashamed and begs forgiveness. Surrender unto me, 11:41-42. From the point of view of material prestige, Arjuna and the Pandavas, hailing from the Surya Vamsa, were actually in a superior position to Krishna. Okay, quote here. On this planet, there are two Kshatriya dynasties, and one comes from the predominating deity of the sun, and the other from the predominating deity of the moon. These dynasties are known as Surya Vamsa and Chandra Vamsa, respectively. When monarchy existed on the planet, the chief member was one of the members of the Surya dynasty, or Surya Vamsa, and the subordinate kings belonged to the Chandra Vamsa. 422.54. Okay. Does that make sense? So, on the social system, the Krishna is in the junior position, like that. So the intimacy is there. Than based on that. So we see that Krishna, it's a prominent principle that he does.
Classic.
Okay, just like there's Krishna, okay? But who is, now Balaram, is he, you know, what's his relationship?
Superior.
Okay. Then what about Sandipani Muni? Yeah, he's superior to them. Or you have Lord Chaitanya. So the senior isn't Lord Nityananda, senior is Advaita Charya. So they like to, that's just the flavor. I mean, we like it the other way around because we're trying to establish that we are the controller and enjoyer. But for Krishna being the controller and enjoyer, then he doesn't have to establish it. He just has fun. Yes?
Isn't that also an aspect of the relationship where you're in the family and the senior position usually takes
On one sense it does, on another sense it's like that, but then that's there in the formal. So that's like that. You see that in these other aspects, but there's no intimacy. Or if there's intimacy, then you take the junior position, like that. So if it's formal, you see Krishna takes the senior position. So if Vamanadeva is the doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj, or like this, but it's not intimate. Right, you know, it's like he's the Lord, and so he's protecting him like that. So it has that the service element of the parental rasa, like that kind of thing. But here we're talking about that just intimacy that comes from that informality, right? So then there's no
it's a different flavor. That's why we're going up through these depths of flavor that's here. So,
okay. The same applies to all the devotees from Shiva on down. They may occasionally be rescued from danger, but their relationship with the Lord is characterized predominantly by deity worship, sacrifices, and so on. In contrast, Sri Krishna has special affection for the Pandavas and engages in pastimes with them to an astonishing degree. This is revealed in many places in the scriptures. This Sri Krishna is no other than the inconceivable original personality of Godhead. He is the first Narayana, the supreme enjoyer. But he is moving amongst the descendants of King Vrishni, just like one of us, and he is bewildering us with his self-created energy. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.9.18. Right, so being the original, he is the first Narayan. Mm-hmm. Right? Balaram's the second Narayan, then Narayan's the third Narayan.
Yes. Narayan the third.
Yes. Sugadev Goswami continued. My dear king, the supreme person, Mukunda, is actually the maintainer of all the members of the Pandava and Yadu dynasties. He is your spiritual master, worshipable deity, friend, and the director of your activities. To say nothing of this, he sometimes serves your family as a messenger or servant. This means he worked just as ordinary servants do. Those engaged in getting the Lord's favor attain liberation from the Lord very easily. But he does not very easily give the opportunity to render direct service unto him. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18. So now we see is that the materialist, he's endeavoring very hard for liberation with great endeavor. He gets a temporary form of that. Right? But devotee who serves the Lord, then liberation is just an easy thing. But now we see, but what's difficult is not actually getting liberation, but the opportunity to render this direct service, right, based on affection. So it's not about the service. We're looking at, oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. That's there. But what is this and that expressing? Why this and that? And it says, oh, that would be cool. You know, no, it's about the mood of affection. That's the point. So because that particular mood of affection is there, therefore then these things are there. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so we're trying to go to this deeper level, this deeper understanding.
Yes.
It's not that these anubhavas aren't symptomatic of what's there, but you have to know that those being there, that's not about that. It's like the sahajiyas, they're crying. That's the whole point, is to show the crying. But it's not about the crying, it's about what makes you cry. So is it the Lord or is it the chilies? Right? Yeah, that's the whole thing. Green chili Bhagavan. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, I guess everything being Krishna, then it's Krishna that's making you cry. Yes, okay. Although Lord Krishna did not appear in the Kuru dynasty, he was so obliged to the Pandavas' devotional service that he acted as a maintainer of the family and spiritual master of the Pandavas. Right? They're a different dynasty, technically, other than paying your tribute, you don't have to do anything for them. But he's taking care of them, protecting them, and all that. It's supposed to be. You were looking at it, oh, he's in the junior position, but who's protecting is in the senior position. It should be the Suryavamsa is protecting the Chandravamsa. Here, technically, the Chandravamsa is protecting the Suryavamsa. But because it's done in this mood of service, therefore it has the other flavor. So, he is your spiritual master, worshipable deity. Oh no, we're down here. Although he took birth in the Yadu dynasty, Lord Krishna was more affectionate to the Pandavas. By his actions, Lord Krishna proved that he was more inclined to the Kuru dynasty than the Yadu dynasty. Indeed, Lord Krishna, indebted to the Pandavas' devotional service, sometimes acted as their messenger, and he guided them through many dangerous situations. Therefore, Maharaj Prickett should not have been saddened because Lord Krishna did not appear in his family. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.6.18 purport. Because otherwise he might feel bad because he wasn't in our family. But no, he's always taking there giving that protection is always involved.
So Maharaj, for Krishna to be affectionate to his devotees is more important than to take birth in such familiar family.
Yes, because you see, did Krishna technically take birth in Mother Yashoda's family? No, he's there.
Yes.
Right? So it's not a problem. Lord Nityananda, did he take birth in Sachimata's house? No, but he's his brother.
Yes.
Even though he's actually from a different district, different village, different family.
Yes.
Brother from another mother.
Yes, like that. You know, even in Vrindavan, mothers are different. So when it comes to affection, these things don't really matter. These things are there because it creates a social environment and at least generates a minimum amount of interaction. But as you see, it's like Lord Ramachandra. He was the favorite of one of the other queens. You know? So that's the thing. You know, so that's just how it works. Like, the affection is the more important element. But if that's to ensure that there's at least some minimal interaction, therefore then all the different positions are in place so that something goes on. Right? Because if there isn't that principle, it's hard to relate to. Like one preacher in England was telling me, we were discussing something about... How do you explain this particular thing? And I was saying, you know, because like the Lord is like the Father, and then He takes care. He said I had one situation. I mentioned that to one teenager. He was asking about something, and he couldn't relate to it because he didn't grow up with any father. You know, there was no male figure in his life. So what does that mean? So that's the whole point. Is that therefore then. Simple principles of Krishna consciousness can't be understood because of these social aberrations. So that's why it's recommended that the social system function in a natural way. Then it's very natural to be able to understand the natural philosophy. Right? That's the advantage. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, does that make sense? Otherwise, then there would be the thing is, you know, we one would think, what's the big difficulty? Radharani wants to go out, she goes out. She can tell, you know, Jatila where she can go jump. But does it work like that? No, because there's more flavor in all these different things. Like that.
Yeah? She's not from the West.
Yes. Yes. She's from the yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam for the states, my dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, all of you, the Pandavas, are extremely fortunate. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, lives in your palace just like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.10.48. Right, so this must be Narad Muni. So, everybody's coming to the Pandavas place to visit because Krishna always comes there. Right? Either Krishna's there, they come to visit, or why Krishna comes there is who they come to visit. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Prahlad was so fortunate that he saw the Lord. We are, however, unfortunate. To pacify lamenting Yudhishthira, Narad speaks these words to him. Right? You are more fortunate than Prahlad, than me, his guru, than other devotees, than the gurus of the Yadus, than sages such as Vasishtha, Marichi, and Kasyapa, then Brahma and Shiva. You are most fortunate among the worlds of jivas. Sages who purify the world by their presence come to your house to make themselves completely successful. Because the secret supreme Brahman, who actually has an eternal human form, resides in your house without even being called by you. Owing to this attraction for you, because you see is that when Krishna goes to Dwarka, goes to Hastinapur, he's sitting in Dwarka and decides, let's go visit the Pandavas. It's not that they call him or in some way try to oblige, right? He just decides, let's go visit and see what's happening. You know, I heard that, you know, they're back, let's go visit them, or they're getting married, so let's go, you know, all these different things, so then they come. The Brahman in human form does not reside in the houses of Prahlad and others, and the sages do not come to their houses to make themselves successful by seeing him there. Sardartha Darshan. Right, so you don't hear that Vamanadeva lives in Bali Maharaj's house. Right? But here he's just coming and living inside in the quarters that are, you know, the guest quarters or whatever is given to him. So he's living in the palace with them, moving around in the palace with them, you know, sitting, talking, you know, when they eat, he eats. When they, you know, he's not a titi. He's just family. So that's the difference. You know, like that. Somebody says, yes.
Also, it's the dwarf form versus the Brahman human form, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in this corner. Weighing in at
15 kilos. Okay. Sardartha Darshini 7:10:48. Rasik bhaktas relish not only Krishna's Vraja pastimes, but they also relish Krishna's Kurukshetra Leela with the Pandavas as well. Right, because you're talking about rasa. That was what came up this morning when we were talking about the different things, is that there's the idea that certain external forms, that's the thing. You know? Like, nowadays, I don't know because I'm not in touch as much, but before there were always devotional fads.
Yes.
You know, something that you had to do or, you know, either wear or be doing or, no? And so then that would be the sign that, you know, things are happening in Krishna consciousness. So it is a symptom, because otherwise why do you want someone doing something connected to Krishna? Right? But the main thing is that it's not about that, it's about the mood. So rasik means they appreciate the mood. So rasa is rasa. It's not something else. So a rasik appreciates rasa. So it's not what rasa or what's going on in that rasa. It's that it is rasa. That's what's appreciated. Is that something? Krishna accepting the post of Arjuna's charioteer is in fact a rasa-laden pastime, as seen in this example from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Right? So this is the. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, "My dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you such transcendental pleasure?" The Brahmana replied, "I am illiterate and therefore do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly and sometimes incorrectly. But in any case, I am doing this in compliance with the orders of my spiritual master. Actually, I only see Lord Krishna sitting on a chariot as Arjuna's charioteer. Taking the reins in his hands, he appears very beautiful and blackish. While seeing Lord Krishna sitting in a chair and instructing Arjuna, I am filled with ecstatic happiness. As long as I read the Bhagavad Gita, I simply see the Lord's beautiful features. It is for this reason that I am reading the Bhagavad Gita, and my mind cannot be distracted from this." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Brahmana, "Indeed, you are an authority in reading of the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you know constitutes the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the Brahmana, and the Brahmana, catching the lotus feet of the Lord, began to cry. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 9:97-103. Right? So this is the principle of, because you're talking about one, you're talking about Gita here, not Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Krishna as the charioteer of Arjuna, right? Not some Braj Leela. But because the Brahmana was absorbed in the rasa between the Lord and his devotee, that's then what is appreciated by Lord Chaitanya.
Yes.
Right? That's rasik.
Yes.
Right. So,
yes.
The other things are simply to enhance. Right? So even in here, we see just how he's standing there, he's holding the reins, he's instructing Arjuna. But why is that going on? Because of the affection.
Yes.
So that's what the rasika is appreciating. Now, you appreciate something through the medium,
yes.
Right? Like someone who appreciates good food. They're appreciating it through a medium of some preparation. Right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? It's not that the preparation is automatically good food. No, the preparation could be a medium of good food. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that so that's why you can take it as advancement or take it as something ordinary. You know what I'm saying? So the one is taking it, see, you're advanced. I'm seeing the symptoms that shows you're advanced. No, but these things can be used in other ways, and then they'll just explain it that way and then say I'm not advanced.
Yes.
But this one's advanced.
Because these symptoms are...
Yeah, because these symptoms.
Right? No, now
yeah, yeah. You've said the symptoms. No. But these symptoms.
Yes.
So that's the rasa.
That's the fun.
Yeah. Does this make sense? So that's why it doesn't matter what we're dealing with. It's all nice. If it's connected to Krishna, that's nice. More evidence for the devotional mellow saturating Krishna and Arjuna's relationship is found in Sukadeva Goswami's youth. Example of... Does that make sense? So, now when Prabhupada names the deities in Delhi, Radha, Parthasarathi, what aspect is he talking about? He's talking about this aspect of rasa.
Yes.
Like that he's doing that, he's doing these things that we're talking about, but... If for Krishna, then just maintaining the whole Mahatattva, which is unlimited universes, it only takes a spark of his energy.
Mm-hmm.
So what is important to him?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but the residence of Vrindavan. So therefore he's thinking of driving the chariot's no big deal. So he's thinking of Radharani.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So that's rasik. Oh, that's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
It is said as it, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, is this like an as it is or is it, it is said? Okay. Yeah, I was saying, okay, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, yes. Krishna and Arjuna's relationship is found in Sukadeva Goswami's youth. Right, that's where you find relationships. See, you're looking in the wrong place. You're supposed to look in Sukadeva Goswami's youth.
Yes.
Example of the it is said that. No, it is said that. Excuse me. In an attempt to induce his son to return home, Srila Vyasadeva instructed his students to recite aloud Bhagavatam shlokas whenever they would collect firewood in the forest. Baladeva Vidyabhushan describes which verse specifically captures Sukadeva Goswami's mind and caused him to go beyond Brahman meditation. Vyasa had Sukadeva hear certain verses, such as Putana attaining the position of a nurse, and Krishna acting as Arjuna's charioteer and doorkeeper. The first is the famous Putana verse from the third canto, 3.2.23, and this is believed to be the second verse. Bhishma addressing Yudhishthira, O king, that personality whom, out of ignorance only, you thought to be your maternal cousin, your very dear friend, well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, etc., is that very personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Next, Narad Muni will glorify the pond of his residence, Hastinapura. So you understand? In other words, the symptoms are important because they're what carries the essence. But the point is that it's the essence that is actually the focal point.
Yes.
You're only appreciating the essence, how it's the uniqueness, how it's coming out, expressed through a particular secondary form.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
78. Because of... what happened here? Oh, okay, there's just a gap in the page. Okay, it's not that. I thought we were going on to the next chapter, the section. Okay, it's just a job. In other words, this was a, what do you call it? A dramatic cause. Just to bring the point. Okay. 78. Because the Lord resides constantly with the Pandavas, their capital city has become like a sacred forest, where great sages perform austerities, and residing in that city awards one the same pious benefits as performing austere acts of penance. Right, so it's what goes on in the place that actually makes it. See, the forest is going to be naturally situated in goodness, just because it's following God's laws. That's all. You know, what's in the forest is not in the mode of goodness, but by going there and performing your particular activities, you know, penance and austerity, that's in the mode of goodness. But if the place is connected to the Lord, it's as good as, if not better. In this case, it's like that, because that, then you get all the benefits of that, but you get the devotional aspect. So in devotional services, there's those. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we call it the forest of, you know, in Vrindavan, the forest of Mayapur. But we're, you know, building a city. So one may only, where's the forest, right? You know, but the forest is, it's like, it has the effect of the forest because it's always absorbed in the Lord. In this verse, Hanuman glorifies Hastinapur. Many renowned sages visited the Pandavas' capital, Hastinapur, to see Sri Krishna because they knew very well that seeing him as the perfection is the perfection of all austerities. Hastinapur is beyond Vaikuntha, the residence of Nrisimhadev and Rama. The abode of Nrisimha, the Supreme Lord, is in Janaloka. He is also ever glorified in Vaikuntha, beyond the material world. Lagu Bhagavatam Tamrita 1:5-24. The avatars, Ram and his brothers, are glorified in the Vishnu Dharmotara, respectively as forms of Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pajumna. In the Padma Purana, however, Lord Ram is described as Narayana, and Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are described respectively as Sesha, the Chakra, and the Conch. The dwelling place of Rama is situated in Madhya Desh, in the city of Ayodhya, and also in Mahavaikuntha. Lagu Bhagavatam, Rita 1:5-34-36. I'm not sure if here Mahavaikuntha just meaning separate from the material world, or Mahavaikuntha means there's aspect of Vaikuntha that's more Maha than the rest of the Vaikuntha. You know, where Mahanarayan is, you have Mathura, Dwarka, and, you know, Ayodhya. So they're because there's other rasas are there. You know, the five rasas are manifest, so they put themselves in a different category of Vaikuntha than in Vaikuntha, where you only see two. Like that. So that's the... Okay. Why is Hastinapur up beyond these boats? Because the Lord resides there as Krishna, and the sages come to visit him there, right? So, or, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so Goloka, that's the whole point, that why it's separate from the Vaikunthas, is because Krishna is in all those places, in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. Mm-hmm. Like that. That's what makes the uniqueness.
Yes.
Like that. As Narad Muni told Yudhishthira, all of you Pandavas are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, lives in your palace just like a human being. Gudham param brahma manushya lingam. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:48. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the reason why the Pandavas are superior to every devotee encountered thus far in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Prahlad was fortunate to see the Lord, but we are unfortunate. In this way, Yudhishthira lamented. Narada replied, "You are more fortunate than Prahlad, than me, his guru and other devotees, than previous members of your dynasty like Yadu and Puru, than the sages like Vishishta, Marichi and Kasyapa, and then Brahma and Shiva. You are most fortunate among all jivas. The sages who purify the planet by showing themselves come to your house to make themselves successful. Because secretly taking the human form, the Param Brahman always resides in your houses without your calling him, because he is attracted to you. He does not personally live in human form in the houses of Prahlad and others. And the sages do not come there to see him in order to become successful." Sardartha Darshani 7:10:48. So that's what you're meaning about the human form. Is that aspect? Yeah. So, because that's the most attractive. Because these other forms, then they're the Lord, and there's some aspect, but it's not the most attractive. You know. So that's an interesting aspect. Just for example, basically in general, if you look at it, in India, most are devotees of either Krishna or Rama, right? And then in the Vaikuntha Sampradayas, then you see is that one of the out of all the 10 avatars, Nrisimha is the most kind of prominent. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what's the one thing in common between all of these?
Same person.
They're all Paravasta.
Yes, Paravasta.
So that's the thing, is the Paravasta aspect is always going to be more attractive than the Svamsa avatars that are not. But even amongst the Paravasta, Krishna is the most attractive.
But he's not the most popular.
He's not the most popular. That's another thing. He's the most attractive. So who's
in India, it appears that Ram is more popular among everybody else.
Yeah, that's because of the emotional sentiment is more easily accessible because of that maryada. It's more like that. I was in one devotee's house. You know, I know the pictures on the walls and that were all Ramachandra Lila. But he's a Krishna devotee. So I was asking why Ram Lila is on the walls. He says, because my wife doesn't like Krishna. He said, why not? He says, you know, he's out dancing with the gopis, he's doing this and that, and Ramachandra, now he follows the rules. He's, you know, he's solid. You know. So, yeah, it does like that. But you also see, like, in the Vaikuntha Sampradayas, they worship Ramachandra, they worship Krishna.
Yeah.
Generally, those are the most... Either have Vishnu temples, or you have Nrisimha temples, or Krishna temples, and sometimes Ram. Like that. However, where does Hastinapur stand in relation to the Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka? This is explained by the Acharyas in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First, Srila Rupa Goswami describes Krishna's three forms. Even though Krishna is the topmost jewel among unlimited heroes endowed with eternal qualities, he is described as having three forms, which manifest according to the type of devotion to the devotee. Oh, this is interesting. Among the unlimited heroes just struck me. I can't remember what else. Because it's always about the thing of being a hero, the heroes. In the West, it's kind of like they're heroes, but it's not like it's kind of unspokenly very prominent. But like in India, it's always, you know, who can be the hero? You know? And when they mean the hero, they mean, you know, the masculine lead. Like that, you know? So that's always the thing there. So, okay, this actor's got potential to be the hero. And, you know, so there's a whole... I'm not even sure they don't have a show who will be the next, Indian hero, right? So, it's more understood here.
Bicycles
are heroes. Yes, bicycles are heroes. Yes. He is described as having three forms, which manifest according to the type of devotion in the devotee. The Lord takes three forms: most perfect, Purnatma; more perfect, Purnatara; and perfect, Purna. These are described in Natya Shastra as best, medium, and inferior. When Krishna means it in this is best, medium, inferior in the context of perfect. Yes. He is described by the intelligent as most perfect. Manifesting the qualities incompletely, he is called more perfect. Manifesting even less qualities, called perfect. Jiva Goswami comments, in comparison to the other two, he is called most perfect by manifesting all qualities, though Krishna may not display all the qualities all the time. Because of the correspondence between the greater intensity of bhakti and Krishna's devotees, in comparison to this, when Krishna manifests himself incompletely and shows comparatively less qualities, he is called more perfect. In comparison to that, when he manifests even less of the qualities, he's called perfect. Durgama Sangamani Tika Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.1.2.2.2. Furthermore, each of these forms corresponds to the particular dham and the type of bhakti inherent there. In Gokula, Krishna appears as most perfect. In Dwarka, Mathura, and other places, he appears as perfect and more perfect. Jiva Goswami comments, manifestations in places other than Dwarka and Mathura are not classified as more perfect or perfect in this statement, since no correlation of gradations has been given for these places. Rather, the gradations of perfect and more perfect should be applied appropriately to other places, such as Avanti, Kurukshetra, and Hastinapur. According to Krishna's particular display of mercy, powers, and sweetness at these places. Durgama Sangamani Tika Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.1.2.2.3. Hence, Krishna's form as Hastinapur is sometimes in between the form of Ramachandra and the Purna perfect form of Dwarkadish. Sri Krishna said, right? Because in other words, there is that aspect, but then there's more intimacy, right? In Hastinapur. Sri Parikit said, upon hearing these words, Sri Narada became uncontrollably eager to see the lotus feet of Krishna. He simply wanted to go to Dwarka and live there forever. He stood up, sat down, and stood up again. He danced enthusiastically, filled with inner joy, and made loud cries. Hearing the description of the glories of Krishna and his beloved devotees, Narada remembered how much he had enjoyed staying in Dwarka whenever he could. Eager to accept, engage in the worship of the Lord, O best of the Kurus, Narada Muni stayed for some time in Dwarka, which was always protected by the arms of Govinda. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.1. Though Hanuman was still speaking, Narada could not help but interrupt him with shouts of joy. By this time, Narada's ecstasy had become uncontrollable. It could also be noted that there is little difference between Dwarka and Hastinapur. This is revealed in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.5, 4.28. In the words of the inhabitants of Dwarka, "Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, where the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and still wanders in play." Srimad Bhagavatam 1.10.26. Baladev Vidyabhushan comments, "Though it is mentioned as the statement of the people of Dwarka, it is actually a statement by the people of Hastinapur. It is stated that they are Dwarka inhabitants because the inhabitants of Hastinapur are followers of the inhabitants of Dwarka. Right? So because they're absorbed in that, then they're as good as." Right? So if wherever you are, you're always remembering Vrindavan or Mayapur, then you're as like being there. Sharanga Rangada 1.5.4.28. 80. Hanuma's heart was immersed in transcendental taste from speaking about the Pandavas. With his ecstasy raised even higher by Narada's dancing, he continued to speak about the topics. Hanuman did not join Narada in dancing because Hanuman's ecstasy lay in speaking to glorify the Pandavas more and more. This katha rasa acts like an intoxicating liquor. It makes those who drink it forget the pain of material life by immersing them in complete satisfaction and happiness. Hanuman was not annoyed when Narada interrupted his speech with ecstatic dancing and shouts of joy. Right? Just like when you're serving prasad, you don't get upset when people go, nice. That might be nice. You want more or not? Right? Yeah, so it's not a problem. Right? Quite the opposite. His ecstasy increased and he felt inspired to go on speaking more and more. Because you're speaking to inspire the other person. They're inspired, so then you're inspired more. So it keeps you up. Sri Hanuman said, "All the calamities that befell the Pandavas were most auspicious and desirable because those calamities made the personality of Godhead anxious to join the Pandavas quickly. Whenever Krishna heard that the Pandavas were in danger, he would want to drop whatever he was doing and go at once to help them." Right? They didn't ask. That's what was mentioned. He's there because he wanted to be there. Right? And then going, working out the problem. So he'd be there during that time. Then having worked out the problem, he would stay for some time because now everything's normal. Now they can relax and interact. So generally when he'd go there, he would be there 9-10 months. You know? And he just went for a visit. Like that. I'm not sure. I guess following in the same mood, right? Mothers-in-law do the similar kind of thing.
It seems like.
So the question is, does that mean that that's transcendental? Yes. Okay. And since the Pandavas' misfortune was auspicious, how much more auspicious was their good fortune, right? So their misfortune was auspicious, and then you put Krishna on top of that. So his point is, how auspicious is their situation, right? Because he's already pointed out before is that the difficulties that devotees have, that's by the Lord's arrangement. So it's actually auspicious, and then you have the Lord's association on top of that.
And that's the point of prayers of Queen Kunti.
Praise of Queen Kunti. Krishna helped the brothers kill Jarasandha and then washed the feet of everyone at Yudhishthira's Rajasuya sacrifice. So who can adequately describe the glory of the Pandavas' loving exchange with Krishna? But you know, so Krishna, why is this going on? Now, Yudhishthira's having this program. He's inviting kings from all over the world, so he's respecting all the kings. So, but into respecting the kings, then one of the aspects is that when you receive them, washing their feet and everything. So now who do you have do this? Right? Because they're representing the family. So they have to be able to do it properly and right, with the right attitude and that. So you have to have someone very trusted to do that. Right? So therefore Krishna is doing that activity on behalf of the Pandavas. You know, just like Bhima is arranging the food. Right? You know, you don't want anything to go wrong, so therefore Bhima does it himself. Right? Is that... Yes. Yeah.
So everybody does what they're good at.
Yes.
So for Maharaj, there is a lot of trust between the Pandavas.
Yes, yeah. So that he's going to do this all night. So he's taking the shoes, washing the feet, doing all that kind of thing that you generally think the servants would do.
Yes.
But the point is then there won't be the same flavor. You know, the greatness that's there, that flavor, so it's done so perfectly. Because right? The servants are going to do it because they're supposed to. Krishna's doing it because he wants to. And he's doing it on behalf of the Pandavas. So who can adequately describe the glory of the Pandavas' loving exchanges with Krishna? Before, Hanuman had said that the Pandavas' troubles were not real, that they were only a show arranged by Krishna to advertise the Pandavas' steadfastness and other saintly qualities. Now Hanuman speaks differently, even taking for granted that the calamities were real, as they seemed to ordinary eyes. Those troubles brought the Pandavas the greatest good fortune. Right? So this is the whole point, is that since everything's Krishna, you can look at it from so many different angles. So that's all that's going on. It's technically, you could say that this, in here, the aspect is vichar. So you're looking at the devotional process from so many different angles. Right? So it's not, it's using this formula, just like any kind, literatures have are described differently depending upon what format they use. Right? Puranas have one format, Upanishads are a different format, the Vedas a format. Right, so even in modern literature, they have so many formats. You know, it's a thriller, it's a suspense novel, it's a fiction, it's documentary, it's all these different kinds of things. So it has to follow that, otherwise it doesn't fall in the category. So we shouldn't have a problem that this is going through and some, you know, they're coming glorifying, then they're saying, no, not this one, and all this kind. That's the medium that it's using. What it's bringing out is the glories of the devotee, devotional service, the Lord, right? Because whose book is this? Whose work is this? Sanatana Goswami. And what is he the acharya of? Sambandha. So that means the nature of the Lord, nature of the devotees, and their relationship. Right? So it's very... Okay. 82. O Pandavas, pure love has subdued you. Ignoring discrimination and etiquette, you engage my Lord as your messenger and charioteer. Right? So he's saying that it's his Lord, right? Because Ramachandra is Krishna.
Yes.
But he's serving him, you know, from the point of service. But he's saying that their love has subdued the Lord, and so they're ignoring discrimination and etiquette.
Yes.
Right? So he's appreciating how much greater is their affection. Right? He's not saying, you know, how can you do this? He's the Supreme Lord, you can't do like that.
But he's also kind of forgetting etiquette sometimes, yeah, out of excitement.
But he's a monkey. You know, that he speaks Sanskrit and you know, does all those things, then that's pretty far out.
You know? Yeah.
That he gets excited and, you know, they hand him a pearl necklace and he, you know, picks it apart and eats it and where's Ram here? You know, then that's because he's a monkey.
Okay.
Yeah. In his trance of kirtan ecstasy, Hanuman addresses the pandas as if they were present before him. He is astounded at their behavior with Krishna, violating the proprieties that forbid servants from giving orders to the master. The Pandavas failed even to consider that menial services like carrying messages were not tasks in which to engage Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the entire universe, the supervisor of Brahma and all the demigods. The Supreme Lord submits to such treatment only with his dearest devotees. Because their love is more, then that submission is more. They're more surrendered, so he's more surrendered. But it may take on formality, it may take on intimacy. So here we're seeing, now we're breaking into that realm of intimacy. And so then from here, then...
It's interesting, in continuation of the morning class, that Hanuman, he's at his own place and he's quite happy. And he understands the intimacy of the Pandavas. But he doesn't want to jump into that kind of group and say, okay, I'm with you, hey. Guy, you know what?
Yo!
Sign me up.
That's the whole thing, is you're satisfied. That's why we don't have to worry. The point is, when it's revealed one's natural position, one's satisfied with it anyway. But the point is technically you could change if you want, but generally, who does?
And even Narada later, I guess, he's going to invite him to come with him, but then he says, no, I can't go, this, that, and he finds some kind of excuse. So it's interesting how devotees are fixed, but our mind is running all over the place, like, you know, where's the... You know.
Is it going to be prestigious enough?
Yes.
Halfway through, I'm not sure.
That's the kind of question. Then also, it's just that aspect that any Vaishnav understands that it's all the same one Lord. It's just the relationship they have with the Lord. Because in Vaikuntha, they're happy to hear Krishna's pastimes, but they just see him in connection. They just see him in connection with that, how they see the Lord of Vaikuntha, and that means that residents of Goloka, then they can see all these other Vaikuntha pastimes, and they just see a current relationship with Krishna.
So we shouldn't worry that we will be disappointed with our Siddha Deha.
No, we should not. Can I get a refund? No, you won't.
Can we get a preview of our Siddha Deha
and then check it out?
That's like a store, you can go in and have a look at what's there. You can try them on.
Mother Muggle, this is a bit big.
No. You'll grow into it.
You have to eat more of it. You Pandavas must know some transcendental herb or mantra that can enchant the most powerful enchanter. Because the Pandavas are under the sway of prema, they can be excused for transgressing reason and etiquette. But why does the personality of Godhead agree to be dealt with lightly? Hanuman surmises that the brothers must know some magic that can hypnotize the Lord. Krishna is the supreme magician, the enchanter of everyone else, so whatever can enchant him must be extraordinary. No such magic herb or mantra is to be found anywhere in this world. The real identity of this magic will be revealed by Hanuman in text 85. Krishna is enchanted only by the perfect love of his intimate devotees, right? So he's just putting it in a poetic form, right? But then you'll see, he'll give you. 84. Purikit Maharaj said, O mother, O celebrated wife of the son of the Pandavas. After Hanuman said this, he repeatedly jumped up into the air, higher and higher, joining the sage Darda in dancing. He then continued to speak. Quite ecstatic. When pure devotees are glorified, everyone in relation to them is glorified, including the families and disciples. Uttara, to whom Purikit is speaking, is both his mother and the wife of Abhimanyu, whom is referred to here as Pandaveya, because he was the son of Arjuna and Subhadra. Thus, Srimati Uttara shared in the Pandavas' glories by marriage and by being Parikit's mother. 85. O Master of all Masters, you are conquered by your great affection for your devotees. This is how you attract their hearts. Now Hanuman addresses Lord Krishna. You are the lord of all the lords of the universe, but you become a chariot driver and order carrier for the Pandavas. This is certainly possible, because your love for your devotees makes you its slave. Having lost your independence, you are forced to do whatever your devotees want, right? But it's forced by love. It's not that he's... it's not like us in the modes of nature. It's slightly different. On various occasions, the personality of Godhead has admitted his dependence on his devotees. For example, after Durvasa Muni is cursed in the ninth canto, the Lord confesses to him,
I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. Because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the core of their hearts. But to speak of my devotees, even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.63. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. Just as Brahma and Shiva cannot save you because they are dependent on me, so I am also dependent and cannot save you. You become dependent on your devotees by your nature, but this is not desired by the devotees. You are thus independent. Right? It's not that that's why the devotee is doing it. Right? So there's not an element of karma there. So he's independent because they're just serving him, but because of that service, he becomes dependent upon their affection. That's his independent will. Right? It's not the control of the devotees. Right? So, does that make sense? So that means, yeah. That is true. I am independent. But by my will, I become dependent on my devotees because I cannot give up my various sentiments towards them. But seeing my suffering, you do not become compassionate. That is true. I do not have such a quality in my mind. My heart is controlled by the best devotees without desire even for liberation. Seeing that liberation which I want to give them is not attractive to them, I forcibly give my own heart. Accepting that, they make that one with their own hearts and fix it there with devotion. Therefore, my mercy exists in their mercy. The Lord's mercy follows the mercy of the devotees. Right? This is that's the reason for the first offense, the holy name. Because the mercy follows the mercy of the devotees. So if the devotee is merciful towards somebody, the Lord follows that.
It's like a rule.
Like
it's like automatic.
Rule, yes. That's why it's the devotees are preaching. Lord Chaitanya, he's the one that awards liberation, awards devotion. But that follows the preachers when they are preaching and then have their goodwill towards somebody. Then they're benefited. Right? So, like the discussion was before, it's like Prahlad Maharaj wants to see everybody delivered, but it's the ones that he personally thinks about are the ones that the Lord specifically then delivers. Because right? Otherwise, generically, every living entity, but they're here because they want to be here. So when he specifically, it follows that mercy. So. This is well known to all people and is known to you. Persons protected by the devotees are dear to me. What to speak of the devotees themselves? O ignorant Brahmana, do you not consider this? Sardartha Darshini 9.4.63. Give me time. Okay, this is time. Yes.
It's something that it's true, I'm independent, but by my will I become dependent on the devotees because I cannot give up my various sentiments towards them. So cannot would indicate that he already is dependent.
No, because the point is he can do whatever he likes.
Except
his cannot means he wants to cannot.
Okay, it wants to cannot.
Yes, so that's the thing is. Our cannot means we can't do anything else. You know, his cannot is he could do something.
Okay.
Else.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki
jai.
Jai Nitai Gaurav ki jai.